it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to New Horizons for this week. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks once again for your company. This week we hear from Paul Price from Brisbane. Paul's going to talk to us about some changes within the Brisbane branch over the last few months and the herald of some changes ahead. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Vaughan.
Some weeks ago, a forum was held relating to the Brisbane branch of Blind Citizens Australia. Do you want to tell us about that?
Certainly. We had a group that met at Vision Australia for the forum on a Saturday morning. And they came from a lot of places across Brisbane, so it wasn't just north or south side. It was a good turnout, and we met basically to discuss the future of the branch and what we wanted to get out of the branch, apart from the state convention, which was on last October. There's not been much happening since about 2015 when we had the last annual general meeting for the branch. So we decided to get together and work out why this was and work out what priorities people wanted to actually look at.
What did people view as the priorities for the branch?
There were a couple of priorities. The main one coming out of Brisbane at the moment is to sort out the accessibility of the new trains that Queensland Rail are looking at, because the new trains have the guards at the back. At the moment, the guards and the trains are in the centre, so they can see down the platform. The accessibility point where your board is in the centre, and the guard can help you on board if you need assistance. With the new trains, the guard's going to be at the back, which means that people who have accessibility issues may have trouble getting on. Queensland Rail, from what I gather, had committed to having staff on the trains to assist where possible if need be. But there was some membership feeling that that wasn't actually good enough, and there was a little bit of fierce debate on what we should actually do about it. Some people wanted to do protests, others just wanted to let QR do their thing, because it wasn't the only problem with the trains, and the trains are actually here. So there's limited change that can take place. Emma put out a call to those who may be interested at the forum in assisting with continuation of the branch and moving it forward, and a number of us put our hands up, and we had a follow-up teleconference recently to discuss priorities and how the branch should move forward. At the meeting, lots of people discussed that they were happy with the turnout of the forum and the fact that there was a diverse crowd from across Brisbane, and we sat down to determine some project priorities, one of which was the train issue. The other issue that came up was the fact that Guide Dogs Queensland does not have a crossing out the front of its premises. And Gympie Road is a very busy road.
Oh, yes, indeed it is. And of course, the railway station is on the opposite side of Gympie Road from Guide Dogs as well, so they really do need something there.
It is doable, according to the latest decree from Guide Dogs, that we can actually cross it.
You can.
20 years ago when I was there, I was told never to cross it on my own. However, not sure what's changed, but it's an issue that I've raised with the federal member up here as well, and an issue that I've raised with Guide Dogs, and it's one that the members felt at the meeting last week that we should actually apply a bit more pressure and see where we're at with it. Another priority that was brought up was the Suncorp accessibility of Suncorp's apps.
Do you mean the Suncorp Metway Bank?
Suncorp Metway Bank, yes.
Yeah.
Their apps are inaccessible when transferring money from accounts. You can't see the account that you're transferring to. I don't have a Suncorp account, but there was a couple of members who do have them, and they identified that there was issues with their app particularly, and they wanted to raise that with Suncorp and see if we can get something happening. A number of members have written to Suncorp individually, and there's been very little success. The website seems to be okay, unless it's changed from when I was on last. but the apps and the ATMs as well are not audio enabled.
Mm, especially these days with so many audio ATMs being available from so many other banks. It's a bit hard to understand why they wouldn't go to that trouble.
I'm really not sure why and what drives it. And I'm also not sure why the response from Suncorp has not been what it should be. However, that's one of the issues that a couple of people on the new branch structure are going to look at. The other issue that we are also going to look at is the Yellow Cabs app in particular, but possibly a lot of the other taxi apps. If you go to pay for a taxi fare within the app and you have a TSS card, taxi subsidy card, the app will still deduct the full fare even though the taxi subsidy card has been presented.
Oops.
So that is a real problem, and it's something that, again, members have raised with Yellow Cabs. Yellow Cabs have told members that it's an issue with MT Data, who make the app. MT Data have told members that it's an issue with Yellow Cabs. So we get stuck in an infinite loop of who's responsible. The other issue with the Yellow Cabs app is that you can't see where your cab is using VoiceOver anymore. Once you book your cab, you've got no idea until it actually SMSs you or sends the notification to your phone that your cab is 400 metres away.
Mm.
You have absolutely no idea where it is. I would hope that they would do something like GoCatch does and Uber does, where it comes up and it says your cab is 3 minutes away. Even that, it's not the best.
But it's still better than nothing.
Better than nothing. Mm. I'd like to see that. I'd actually like to see it where it was in the old days when it would tell you what street the cab was on.
Yeah, that was really good, because you could sit there and you could actually, a voiceover would tell you as it got closer where the taxi was.
Correct. And eventually I'm hoping that somebody will be able to sort it out so that we can get that accessibility back. This is not all good step when you go backwards.
No, it's not a good step, and especially at the moment when taxi companies are jumping up and down about organisations like Uber and other ride-sharing applications, when Uber has gone out of their way, really, to make their apps accessible and make their whole process accessible, it's a wonder that more blind and vision-impaired people aren't going in that direction.
Correct, and I have thought about it, particularly with the accessibility issues with Yellow Cabs, and the payment issue is more a concern to me, because I want to be able to pay in the app so that I can have a record and a receipt and know what cab I was in, etc., etc. It's something that would turn me to using maybe not Uber, but certainly GoCatch, because it is reasonably accessible. Again, you can't see where your cab is, but you know it's 5 minutes away or 3 minutes away.
Yeah, you know that it's coming. I've had some reasonably good success with GoCatch, both in Hobart and other cities, and I would strongly recommend that as a good option for people looking for a regular taxi that is not an Uber or something like that.
I do like the GoCatch. I also like the fact that they're doing rideshare now in most states as well, so you can get an Uber-like car. A lot of the drivers are actually running GoCatch and Uber together. So you can book on GoCatch and you might get one that, you know, if you do use Uber, he may also be your Uber driver.
Since we started talking about taxi companies and things like that, nearly 30 years ago, Paul, things have changed significantly, haven't they?
I certainly have. I still miss the old radios.
Oh, me too.
I used to love listening to all the operators and the drivers and everyone having a big chat on the radio. The one thing I did mean to mention is that there was discussion regarding airlines and guide dogs.
Ah, yes.
Which is a particularly important issue. We had a number of members on the teleconference who raised the issue where the guide dogs were booked into the system, everything was okay, they rang the accessibility number to make sure that everything was ticketed properly, and they got to the airport. One lady even said on the conference that she got to the airport and the check-in person at the counter said, "And you're leaving the guide dog here? It's not travelling?" And that's a really big issue. Mm. Again, possibly a national one, and again, it's probably not limited to Virgin. I do believe that BCA nationally is in discussions with Qantas, and they will start discussions with Virgin, both at national and local level.
Yes, this is a big thing across the world, isn't it, at the moment, accessibility to airline travel. There's been some concerns, particularly in the United States over the last 12 months, and of course in other countries as well. I'm aware of one situation in the UK where people had issues with travelling with guide dogs, and now it's rearing its ugly head here. I think it's very embarrassing for airlines, Paul, isn't it, that we're in this position now?
It certainly is. Particularly with the competitive nature of air travel now, I don't understand why airlines don't want to be top of their game at all accessibility, not just guide dogs, but even getting from the cab to the terminal now can be a major problem.
It's getting worse and worse. It's just about everywhere.
It is. It wasn't for me last time I travelled. I got assistance, but that's more luck than the norm now, unfortunately.
I have to say that Sydney Airport impresses me. Well, you get dropped off right outside the door and you walk in and there's your check-in counter. Certainly last time I travelled, that was the case in Sydney. Even Hobart now, which is quite a small airport, they've moved the taxi rank about as far away from the door of the airport as it possibly can be. So it's actually quite difficult to, whereas you used to go straight out the door and just a little bit to your left and there were the taxis. Now you go out the door and all the way down to the other end of the complex to find a taxi. And I just don't understand the logic behind it.
I don't think there is any. I shudder every time I have to go out to the airport because it's just so difficult to get to check in and even getting from check in to the gate. Some people on the teleconference the other night reported that they will be seated in a chair somewhere away from the counter where you check in, so you can't even go back to them if the people forget you, and they'll wait 45 minutes to an hour until somebody comes and picks them up to go up to the boarding gate. There's a lot of issues around it, and I don't understand it. Maybe it's due for staffing cutbacks or something, but it used to be really good, and it's just getting worse.
Paul, who is now heading up the Brisbane branch committee?
The other night we had a discussion about the Brisbane branch committee and the three people who would take over as per the branch rules. We've got Damien McMorrow is heading the branch committee up. We have Caitlin McMorrow, who is assisting Damien with anything that needs to be done. She's also going to do some of the admin and some of the advocacy issues that may arise. Lynn Eagers is happy to help where possible. She's still on the email list, apparently. And Mark Muscat is doing some of the financial treasury duties. I just hope that the enthusiasm for the branch does continue, because it's been dormant for a little while now. And I hope the lines of communication stay open.
Paul, thanks very much for joining us on the program this week.
No problem, Bourne. Thanks for having me.
Paul Price there from Brisbane. Now, the Women's Branch newsletter, Aspirations, will shortly be looking for a new editor. If you are a member of the Women's Branch and would like to try your hand at editing a magazine, then get in touch with them. You can email nwb@bca.org.au, or you can call the head office on 1-800-033-660 and let your interest in editing that magazine be known. Don't forget, the convention's coming up in a few weeks, and we will likely be hearing lots about that in New Horizons programs over the next few months. But we'd love to see you all at the convention. You can contact the National Office, and you can contact them about anything, really, on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. The other thing you can do is email them on bca@bca.org.au. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company for the last 15 minutes. Talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.